Welcome to the IC Maidan podcast. We are so glad that you've chosen to listen online. If you would like to know more about who we are, why we exist, our service times and location, or how you can get involved, then check out our website at icmaidan.com. We hope you enjoy the message today.
How are you guys doing in your prayer and fasting? Good? Anyone feeling you're feeling the burn, feeling the pain, feeling the cravings and the hunger? Is it pushing you to pray? Is it reminding you of how much you need to hunger after God's word and crave after God's word? I'll tell you, this is the 21 days of prayer and fasting is my favorite time in the church. Every year, January, this is my favorite time. I don't mean like it goes downhill for me the rest of the year. I like it all, but this is the best. When we are praying and fasting and the prayer nights, man, it is... There's nothing more refreshing than the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday prayer night here. I love every bit of it. It's just a powerful, important time for us, and it's good for all of us. You know, discipline is important. It's like with the song of being made into new wineskins, being made into vessels so that we can have the new wine inside of us. You know, all of this is important. We need to be new. You know, what we want this year, no one wants 2018 again, right? We want God to be able to put the giftings and the anointings and the blessings, everything he has for us in 2019, we want to be able to receive all of that. And 2018 Chris can't receive what God has for 2019, right? So my prayer is, God, make me new. Make me a vessel so that I can be filled with new wine. And I love even just the pain of fasting. It's good for us. I love the phrase that says, pain is just weakness leaving my body. How many of you love that? Man, that just feels tough to say. Pain is just weakness leaving the body. When you feel that hunger pain, weakness leaving. We're getting stronger and stronger. And man, even as a church, I was thinking, or as a church staff, we've been reading through the Bible. We're doing a devotion, read through the Bible in 1 year. And that has just really enhanced the whole prayer and fasting time. All the Bible reading each day. And I love just reading some of the Bible and then praying about those verses and then reading some more and praying some more. And the prayer nights, everything. I just love this time of year. I love the series we're doing right now. I believe prayer is so important. That's why we're spending the first few weeks of the year talking about prayer. Spending time praying, spending time in God's word and in God's house praying together. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. This is the verse we read this last week. This is the key verse every week of this series. We will read this. It says, pray in the Spirit in every situation. Use every kind of prayer and request there is. So this is not only telling us that prayer is super important, but that we need to learn how to pray in every way and in every situation. So today we're going to look at a story in the Bible, and the whole focus we're looking at today is a praying church, the power of a praying church. Last week we said that a praying Christian causes Satan to tremble. And did that make you feel excited? Did that make you want to pray more? Like, I want to make Satan tremble. That makes you want to leave and just get on your knees and start praying to shake the devil up a little bit. He's not in control. Our God is. We take control back. We pray and make him tremble. So a church does that multiplied, because a church is all of you guys gathered together. We are all focused and we are all praying. Imagine how scared the devil gets. Imagine how frightened the demons are. Our enemy almost can't even function when we pray, because it is a powerful thing. A praying church has influence. A praying church changes things. A praying church makes a difference. Even with Project Give this year, do you guys know that in 4 weeks, you gave 105 million rupiah for Project Give? Give yourselves a hand. Man, I love that. God is generous. So a church that looks like God is a generous church. You guys are a generous church. Our goal was 80 jutha. And when we set the goal, we're like, man, we're really reaching high. You guys overshot the goal. I believe part of that has to do with prayer, because you were praying and asking God, what should I do? God, what should I give? And he spoke to your hearts and you guys responded. That means our goal of supporting 3 children from Yachan for the year, we shot over that. We'll be able to support 4 children for the year. Each child was, it's 18 juta to support everything for the entire year. Food, housing, transportation, school, every need they have. And so we're able to support 4 of those children for the entire year as a church. And then the fun days going on. They had one last Saturday with the high school students. I can't wait to see the pictures and the videos from that. You will be excited to see that. The guys were doing paintball. I know our team, the ones that were able to host them, came back with all sorts of bruises. And I know Nemo came home. He had like a paintball mark right here, right behind the mask. I don't know who shot my son in the head, but I want to, no, I'm just kidding. It was probably his brother. If you guys have brothers, you know. Someone came up behind him and shot him in the back of the head. As an example to all the children, like we want to be a good, no, I'm just kidding. That's not. So I'm excited about that. And talking about prayer today and how we can make a difference in prayer. When we live our life by prayer, when we are moved by God's leading, when you pray first, you will make a difference. You'll make a difference in this world. You'll make a difference around you. I was remembering this week when Carrie and I were new Christians. The first person I wanted to pray for to receive Jesus was my brother. Man, my brother is my best friend. He's my little brother. You know, we've had times of fighting and arguing, but I don't have a better friend in the whole world, aside from Carrie, than my brother. And so after we were Christians, man, I started praying for my brother. And he repented, and he accepted Jesus, and he became a Christian. Then he started praying for a friend of his from high school, that we both know him, but he started praying for this friend. This friend of my brother's he was praying for, the last time I had seen him before this, he was so high on drugs that it's like his feet weren't touching the ground. I mean, he was so messed up. He was so high. He floated up to me. And he came up to me asking me if I had some drugs to give him. Well, I was like, no, Jesus saved me from that. I have no drugs. And he's like, it's okay. Like, he was just so high, you know. My brother started praying for him. The next time I saw him, Jesus had changed his life. He didn't drink alcohol. He wasn't involved in drugs. He was clean. He was saved. He was on fire for God. Still today, he is a man of prayer. This guy, man, everything he talks about is God. If I message him on Facebook, he'll pray for us. I've had times where he sends me a message on Facebook just to let me know he's praying for me. Man, there's power in prayer. It can be effective. It changes lives. Just think about that. Praying for my brother, God saved him. He prayed for a friend, God saved him. The power of prayer. When Christians pray, it changes things. It makes a difference. The prayer of a righteous person has great power. I want to look at James chapter 5, verse 16. I want to look at 2 different translations of this just to get the full meaning. The first one is this: confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The other version is like this, and it just helps it make a little bit more sense for us. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. The part of confess your sins to one another may freak you out, right? Imagine if you came in here on Sunday and I was like, all right, let's all turn to our neighbor and tell them your sins from this week. How many of you would find some excuse to go to the toilet? Oh, I'm sorry, I would share my sins, but where's the toilet? Manakamakachil, you know? That's scary. But what this is saying is, it doesn't mean like in here necessarily, but it means you need to have people in your lives, other Christians, other brothers and sisters, that you can share these things with. Maybe it's in life group. Life group is starting in February. After Chinese New Year celebrations, life group will start. You need to get in a life group so you can find some of these people and build close relationships. Some of this happens in life group where you can share with someone, hey, here's what I'm struggling with. And it's not so they can go gossip about you. You know what I mean? You know, sometimes when some people think it's the prayer chain, when someone tells them something, they're like, I need to talk to someone else about this. Why are you telling someone else? Oh, we're just going to be praying. No, don't do that. You pray for the person. It's when someone shares and opens up to you, it's not for you to gossip or talk about or judge. It's so you know how to pray for that person. So you can help carry that burden. When we confess our sins to one another, it's so if I'm talking to Josh, I can take this weight off of me and say, Josh, here's something I'm struggling with. And he'll know how to pray with me. He can check in with me each week and say, hey, Pastor Chris, how are you doing with this? Hey, I'm doing good this week, but keep praying. We can have accountability. We can lift each other up. We share one another's burdens. We don't have to carry it alone. And that sharing, that accountability, that's what brings freedom and healing. You'll notice all of a sudden, man, something's out of your heart. Something's off your chest. Effective prayer. That means it works. If something is effective, it works. How many of you like effective things? Carrie and I in our lives right now have had so many things in our house break. You ever have that happen? And if one appliance breaks in our house, I don't know about your house. In our house, it's never just one thing. If one thing breaks, we always know, okay, what's next? The water pump quit pumping water. That's not effective. Water pump should pump. It has the word pump in the name. The water dispenser quit dispensing. It's not effective. I went for some hot water, no hot water. I was just being lazy and just having a coffee 3-in-1. If you can't get hot water, they won't mix up, you know. Then what else? The washing machine, our air con in our room. I've made a list. I'm not going to share with you everything that was broken. The car door lock on my door of my car does not lock. How can a lock not lock? How many of you know in Maidon, you need your car door to be able to lock? Somebody say amen. If I park on the street and my car door is not locked, it's likely when I come back, my seats are gone. I came back to the car and the door just opened without me using the button. I start checking everything. Do I still have my parking money? Is this radio? You know, when things are not effective, it's frustrating. This verse is talking about effective prayer. It's talking about, it uses the word fervent. Fervent, effective, fervent prayer. Fervent is not a word we use very often, but it means passionate, intense, sincere. That's the type of prayer that we're looking for. I wrote it all together in a different way just to help it make sense for us. The passionate prayer of a righteous person is effective. It has great power, and it accomplishes much. I've seen through prayer people be healed. I may have shared this before, but the first time I experienced this was with my daughter Savannah when she was 3 years old. My son Isaiah, that you may have met while he was here for the holidays, he was just at the time 1 year old. He was a baby. We strapped him in the car seat of the car. We were about to go on a 12-hour drive from Alabama to Florida, and he was screaming, crying his head off. How many of you have been around crying babies? You know, at first, like, oh, so sweet. After an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, it's just something. It turns out he had an ear infection, and he just was crying. He was in pain. You know, babies can't say it, but he's just in pain and crying and crying and crying. And his sister at 3 years old reached over and put her hand on him and just prayed a simple prayer, God, heal my brother. And instantly, he quit crying. Healed was prayer. My daughter wasn't a doctor. Back then, we didn't even have WebMD, so she wasn't even able to look up, like, medical things on Google. It was just prayer, and he was healed. We've seen demons cast out through prayer in the U.S. and here in Maidon. They're everywhere, guys. You don't have to look for them, but you have the authority to cast them out in prayer. I've seen lives change because of prayer. My brother, his friend, some of you are here this morning because someone prayed for you. How many of you know that? Some of you are sitting here and you know, man, I am a result of someone's prayer. I'm here because my mother-in-law prayed for me. Carrie's mom was praying for her daughter's husband before she ever met her husband. I'm so thankful. How many of you know it's never too soon to start praying for your children's spouses? You want your sons to meet the right girl. You want your daughters to meet the right boy. You know, and look how good that prayer turned out for us. I mean, I am so thankful my mother-in-law was praying that Carrie would meet me and say yes. And I've prayed and seen dreams become reality. This church, I mean, look around right now. Look around at the wonderful people sitting with you. We're here learning about prayer. We just worship together. This church didn't exist not too long ago. It was just a dream in our heart, something God had put there. We started this out with 21 days of prayer and fasting. Just our family, five of us. January 2014, just like we're doing right now as a church. January 2014, we decided we're going to pray and fast for 21 days. Even our youngest, Gabriel, who was just 7 years old at the time. No, he was still six. He turned seven that year. He was 6 years old. He was fasting from Milo. How many of you fasting from Milo? But Milo is what he lived off of. If it was lunchtime, what do you want, Gabe? Just Milo hung out. That's all he wants. So him giving up Milo would be like me giving up coffee. You know how many, if you're giving that up, you know. And so even Gabriel was fasting. That was January 2014. We didn't have a team to launch the church. We hadn't started the first life group or small group yet. We didn't know any of you that are here now. We didn't know any of our staff. We didn't know any of the dream team. It was just our family praying. January 2014. We started the first life group in April. By September 2014, we were launching the service in Cinema 21 in Hermes. This was born through prayer. Guys, can I tell you, prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is effective. Prayer changes things. Prayer will move your enemy away from you and move your God closer. When you feel like things are closing in and it feels like there is the enemy just on all sides, if you pray, it's like Satan is pushed back and God leans in to listen. It moves your enemy away from you and moves your God closer. I've been hearing testimonies even this week of God answering prayers of people that have been here on the prayer nights. After the first night, Tuesday night, the next day people were saying, hey, God answered a prayer. Hey, I've been praying for something for so long and it happened. I was here Tuesday night praying for just 1 hour. Wednesday got an answer. In my own life, I was praying for something Tuesday night. Wednesday morning, things started to move. God hears you. He loves to hear the prayers of his children. God loves to answer you. How many of you know that? He loves to answer your prayers. He wants to answer your prayers. Just like any parent in the room, we want to give good things to our children. Sometimes he doesn't give us what we ask for because it's not good for us. How many of you give your kids every single thing they ask for? Mommy, can I play with the knife? No, it's not good. You know what I mean? Like, there's things you don't. Hey, put the lighter down. You don't need that. That's for lighting the stove, the compord. Leave that alone. There's things, you know, but God wants to answer your prayers and give you good things. He loves hearing his children pray. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, we see the disciples talking to Jesus, and they ask him something that I think is very important. They say, Lord, teach us how to pray. Lord, teach us how to pray. Imagine all the things that they've seen Jesus do, all the miracles, all the signs and wonders, and all just the amazing things. Imagine the things they could have asked Jesus to teach them. Lord, teach us how to raise the dead. Lord, teach us how to calm the seas. Remember that story with the storm and the waves, and Jesus said, peace, be still. I could have been asking that. Those are some cool things. Lord, teach us how to multiply ikan goreng. Any of you in here that owns a restaurant, you're thinking, that would have been good, you know? One basket of fish feeds 5,000. Could you imagine the profit? All the business people in here, you're calculating that right now, you know? Lord, teach us how to multiply fish. Lord, teach us how to walk on water. How many of you would love to learn that? All the things, just imagine all those things. And the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. They saw something in how Jesus talked to his Father. They saw power. They saw authority. Maybe they saw the intimacy and the love. They saw this relationship. And they're like, man, of all these things, Lord, this is what I need. I want to be able to talk to God. I want to have this relationship. If you will learn to pray, God will do powerful things in your life and through your life. If you will learn to pray. That's why we have the free prayer guides. We have them back there now. They're here on the prayer nights. Those are free just for you to take. It's just some teachings about prayer and some prayers from the Bible just to help us. It's why we're talking about prayer for 4 weeks. It's why we have a prayer team that prays while we're in service. Many of you didn't know that. We have a prayer days while this is going on. Because I know that in this room, life and death is happening. There's a spiritual warfare. There's a battle over your heart and your soul and your mind. So we put together a prayer team, and I said, I want myself to be being prayed for. I want everyone ministering to be prayed for, the team to be prayed for. I want everyone coming in the room to be being prayed for while this goes on, because Satan will try to distract you. And I know if we've got a team praying, the distractions can be moved away so that God can speak to you. That's how powerful prayer is. That's why we believe so much in prayer. As a Christian, prayer is your life. Effective prayer. We want prayers that move God's heart. Powerful, effective prayers. Acts chapter 12, this is the story we're going to look at today. We'll get on to this. We're going to look at verses 1 through 18, but we'll just a little bit at a time. It starts out like this. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. So the church was facing persecution at this time. The church was new. It was just starting to grow. This was a new thing, and Herod wants to crush it. He wants to stop all of it. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. So the first of the disciples that is executed or martyred. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, standing him over to be guarded by 4 squads of 4 soldiers each. So Peter was deep in the prison. He was so deep in the prison, there were 16 soldiers guarding. So he's going past this squad and that squad and that squad, deeper and deeper into the prison. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, and here's the key to the whole story. But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. When we look at this story, and we're going to talk about some of it, there's some things that will catch your attention. Some amazing things, some shocking things, some things that I think are a little bit funny. But the key to the whole thing is this statement, the church was praying. The church was praying. Peter's in this situation. James is dead. Peter locked up. The church was praying. Then it says, the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Does something seem funny about that story? How many of you, locked in prison, chained up, 16 guards, your friend and fellow disciple has been executed? How many of you would be sleeping? I mean, if you want to see a story of someone who had peace in his life, I mean, I'm thinking I might be pacing around the cell, you know, pacing around, maybe like praying really loud, the loudest prayer you've ever prayed in your life, Lord, get me out of here. You know, how many of you would just be, I mean, Peter's just sleeping. I mean, maybe laying in fetal position in the corner of the room crying, I'm going to die, I'm going to die, I'm going to die. How many of you could think of other things you might be doing instead of sleeping? You're in prison, going to trial the next day. You've got to know you're facing execution because your friend has already been killed by the sword. And here we see Peter sleeping even between 2 soldiers, just laying there asleep. And not just like a cat nap or like a power nap. He was in a deep sleep. He was sleeping like he had no worries in the world. He was sleeping as if there wasn't any care. I mean, some of us have a hard time sleeping at night. Anybody? And we're not in the prison guarded by 16 soldiers waiting to be killed. Here he is sleeping soundly, deep sleep. I'm sure he had reached the REM cycle, you know? He was in the dream state. Like Peter had, and the way we know that is this. The next verse said, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell, And that didn't wake Peter up. How many of you wake up? I don't sleep very soundly anyway, but if someone turned on a light, I wake up. Anyone else? But this isn't just a bola lampu. This isn't just the light in your room. This is the light from the angel coming in. An angel entered the room. Can you imagine how bright? How many of you think you would just be sleeping through that? How peaceful. I want that kind of sleep. Anyone? I mean, the angel comes in, the light shines in the cell, and I love the angel's response because that wasn't enough. I mean, the angel may have thought, I'll just walk in, he'll wake up. It'd be this awesome entrance. Yes, I'm shining bright. Peter gets up. So the angel's response is, the next verse, he struck Peter on the side. He struck him. Does struck sound peaceful? He didn't tap him. Hey, Peter, let's wake up. He wasn't stroking his hair. Bangun sayang. You know, it was like you would think an angel, like this would be a sweet moment. He struck him. Struck. I like looking at these words to try to figure out, maybe I'm missing something. I looked at the King James Version. It used the word smote. I thought smote was to kill someone. I was looking up definitions. Smote. He smote Peter. And I looked it up. It means hit hard. So you're not missing that when you read he struck him. That's what he did. He hit him hard. He didn't wake up from the light. I don't know if he used his hand. I don't know if he kicked him. This is my favorite, guys. I'm going to share this with you. Look this up later when you get home. My favorite translation is in the Living Bible. And it says, this is in the Bible, the angel slapped him. I read that, I opened that version of the Bible, the Living Bible. It says the light shone and the angel slapped him. You can't misunderstand that. You know, we're like, what? Do angels slap people? This was an angel from Medan. How many of you know? Those are the angels protecting our city. Because you need some tough angels guarding over Medan. The angel slapped Peter. He didn't have any time for that. Ayo, bangun la, chapat. That's what he said next. He's like, quick, get up. He slapped him. Man, Peter is in this big trouble, but he's got bigger peace. How many of you want that kind of peace? And you'd love to have that kind of peace. Some of you are in some troubles in your life right now. How many of you wish that tonight you could just go to sleep in peace and not even think, like the trouble's not even there? We need to learn how to pray. You need to have friends who pray for you. I really believe part of why Peter could sleep there in the prison is because he knew his friends from church were praying for him. He's like, I don't even have to pray for myself. I know people are praying. You know, we read the church was praying. Further on in the story, we're going to see he goes to the house later where everyone was gathered praying for him. You need some friends that you can count on to pray for you. So when you're in a problem, you're thinking, you know, I trust God, and I'm not even stressed to even be praying about this. I know my people have my back. I know my friends from life group. I know my friends from church. I've got some solid people around me. They're praying for me all the time. Like that guy I told you in the U.S. that would just send me a message, hey, I'm praying for you. And we need people like that. That's how we can have this kind of peace. We need to learn how to pray, and we need to have people praying for us. The church was praying for him. They weren't talking about him. Hey, now that Peter's gone, let me tell you how I really feel about him. They weren't gossiping about him. They weren't judging him. You know what? I think Peter must have had some sin in his life. That's why he's in prison. It's his fault. I bet he's being punished. It wasn't any of that. No, they were praying for him. They were praying. We have to put an end to gossip and judging in the church. We've got to put an end to that. We can't be gossiping about people. We can't be judging people. It's a weakness in our life. It's a flaw in humanity. Gossip, judgment. The next time you want to talk about someone, stop yourself for a moment and pray for them about whatever you're about to say. If you ever see someone, before you judge them, just pray for them. Do you know that would change your heart? We shouldn't be gossiping about people. We shouldn't be judging other people. When you stop for a minute and think about the problems in your own life, that should be enough to stop you from talking about someone else, right? That's sort of what the Bible tells us. Why are you trying to help someone get a speck out of their eye when you've got a pole in your eye? You know, I mean, God trying to tell us, hey, you've got your own things to be dealing with. Just pray for people. And he will change our heart if we do that. This church was praying, and God was moved. The chains fell off of Peter because his friends were praying for him. If you look back to Acts chapter 12, moving on, it said he struck Peter on the side, woke him up. He said, quick, get up. And the chains fell off of Peter's wrists. And the angel told him, put your clothes on, wrap yourself with your cloak, and follow me. And the angel leads Peter out past the first four guards, the next four guards, the next four soldiers, the next four soldiers, and then to the gate of the city. And the gate opened. God opened the door for them. They didn't even have to touch the door. It says, when they came to the iron gate leading to the city, they passed the first and second guards, came to the iron gate. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. And do you have some chains in your life that need to fall off? You need to learn to pray and gather some people to pray for you. Are you praying for some doors to open in your life? Quit pushing on the doors and just pray and let God open doors. He'll open the right doors. He'll close the ones that need to stay closed. This is effective prayer. It goes on, and after the angel led Peter to a certain place on a street, he left him there. Peter came to himself and realized, I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me. Then it says, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, had gathered and were praying. So Peter goes to the house, and he knocks on the door. One of the girls in the house goes to the door. She hears that it's Peter outside, and she leaves him there and runs to the friends saying, hey, Peter's here, Peter's here. How rude is that to your Tamu? If you go to the door, who is it? It's Peter. And then you leave him there. But she was just so shocked. She went and told everyone else. And look at how spiritual and how full of faith this prayer group was. She says, Peter is at the door. And they said, you're out of your mind. You're crazy. I love seeing that phrase in the Bible. It says, you're out of your mind. They're like, that's crazy. Imagine they were there praying for Peter, and their prayer is answered, and they're shocked. They didn't believe it. Have you ever asked God to do something that you really didn't believe he could do? Have you ever prayed for a problem that you really thought, this is really too big for God to do anything? What this tells us is, you got to just pray anyway. God can answer your prayers beyond your doubts. They clearly didn't. It says they all went to the door after that, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. It wasn't like, well, of course, I've been praying for you. No, they're shocked. How did you get here? He may have even told you, oh, you've been praying. An angel came and rescued me because of your prayer. I mean, imagine this for a moment. It means that if you have doubts, pray anyway. If you think your problem is too big, pray anyway. If you think the request is too much, pray anyway. If you think that the dream is too impossible, pray anyway. Just pray anyway and see what God will do. Don't decide for God what he can or cannot do. That's our problems sometimes as humans. We champortangan, right? We adjust our prayers to what we think God can do. Well, God, I want to ask for this, but I'm not sure if you can do that. So we pray smaller prayers. We don't want to be disappointed. Just small, bite-sized, reachable goals. Almost things sometimes we could have done ourselves. God wants you to pray big. Don't decide already what he can or cannot do. The verse that we're talking about in this series tells us to pray with all kinds of prayers and requests in all kinds of situations. Here's another thought I had. Do not underestimate your God and overestimate your problem. It's easy for us to believe that our problems are too big, but we seem to struggle believing that our God is too big. Don't underestimate your God and overestimate your problem. Don't offer the small, simple prayers. I think that's almost offensive to God. Really, that's all you got? Pray some big things. Pray like these guys. They may have had some doubts, but they prayed, God, rescue Peter from that prison. We don't want him to die like James did. And their prayer was answered. Pray big prayers. I love the ending of this story. It says, in the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. I would imagine so, right? The next morning, they're looking around, 16 of them. The gates shut, all of those things. But the next morning, Peter's gone, the gates open. No one had seen anything. It says there was no small commotion. I looked up commotion, and it has some really good definitions for us to help us understand that word. Commotion means confusion. There was no small confusion the next morning. There was no small disturbance. There was no small chaos. And then this other word, I just wanted a chance to be able to use this in church. There was no small hullabaloo. You don't very often in English hear hullabaloo, but that's kind of cool. There was no small hullabaloo among the soldiers as to what had happened to Peter. I don't know about you, but I want to pray prayers that brings confusion to the enemy. Do you guys want to pray like that? Effective, powerful. I want to pray prayers that cause a commotion. Prayers that confuse the enemy. Prayers that bring a disturbance to the demons. I don't want to be disturbed by demons. I want to disturb the demons. I want demons to stay away because they're trembling because I pray. That's how it can be. And you don't have to be disturbed by anything. Your prayers should disturb the enemy. I want to pray prayers that sends the enemy into chaos. I want Satan to experience a hullabaloo because I'm praying. How many of you want to pray like that? That's effective, powerful prayer. Prayers that break chains, prayers that open doors, prayers that rescue those in trouble, prayers like the early church that was praying for Peter. So here's quickly some ingredients of effective prayer. You're going to love this first one. The first ingredient, problems, pressure, or pain. You need some problems, pressure, and pain in your life. Anyone want to say amen? No one's amening that. Amen. Hey, God, give me some problems. Give me some pressure. We all know that those are the times in our life when we grow. We don't like to talk about that as a church because that doesn't feel warm and fuzzy. That doesn't feel like a blessing. But how many of you in this room, the time when maybe even you first went to God, it was because of some pressure or pain in your life? Probably most of us would raise our hand. How many of you have prayed your strongest prayers when you're facing a problem? And nothing will drive you to prayer like a problem in your life. We need problems. We need pressure. We need pain. We need these things. That's where God makes us strong. It's in the pressure, this pressing going on. He doesn't cause the problems. But if you've noticed, he doesn't always rescue you from all of them. Why? Because he knows that's good for us. He's building us. He's strengthening us. I know I am who I am today, not because of the easy times in my life. I am who I am today because of the problems and the pressure and the pain. Most of us don't grow during easy times. Most people don't go to God. Well, you don't, I mean, everything's great. Oh, life's wonderful, life's beautiful, I have everything I need. I think I'll ask Jesus to save me. That doesn't often happen. But when you're like, man, I need to be rescued, I need to be saved, my life is in a mess, who can I go to? Jesus, will you save me? And he does. It was that problem. Sometimes the problem in your life may be the greatest thing that ever happened to you. We don't like to say that. We don't normally sign up for problems or volunteer. We don't pray for that, God, give me problems. But if we realize, man, I know I am who I am today because of problems and pressure and pain. If Carrie and I hadn't almost gotten a divorce in the 8th month of our marriage, facing all these problems and our lives so full of sin, if we hadn't been there, I don't know if I would be a Christian today. I don't know if I'd be following Jesus. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I would have ever gone to God. I certainly wouldn't be a pastor standing here. That's why I can thank God for the problems I experience. I thank God for those. At the time, maybe I didn't understand. You know, when you're in the problem, it doesn't feel good. But now looking back, I can see God was with me. I can see where he brought me. And I can say, God, thank you for those problems. I appreciate the pressure I have experienced in life. I appreciate it. I don't regret the pain. How many of you could say that with me? There's no pain I have felt in my life that I regret because that pain made me stronger. That pain got me here. Don't be afraid of problems. Don't be afraid of pressure. Don't be afraid of pain. I'm not telling you to pray for those things. But when it's there, let God do the work. Let God do what he's doing. Don't let problems, pressure, or pain push you away. Instead, let them push you to pray. That's what we need to do. The second ingredient, passion. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 9 said, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petition with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. He offered these prayers, fervent cries and tears. Like we looked at earlier, fervent, passionate, intense, sincere. Don't be afraid to have some time with God where you just open up completely. He knows everything. Don't keep it there. Don't be afraid to have some time where you can just cry. I mean, on the prayer nights here, I noticed after the first night, we need more tissue boxes. Sometimes you're afraid to open up in prayer because you're looking around and you see there's no tissue. But there's nothing like being so open with God and so passionate in your prayer that you get to that point where you're just doing the ugly crying. You guys know what where like tears, snot, everything, where you're in this moment with God and everything's a mess. And you, when it's over and you're looking around like, where's the tissue? You know, like we're just nothing held back. God, I just want to be with you. And you're weeping and you're open and everything right there with God. It's such a beautiful thing to be passionate. Even Jesus, when he was on earth, passionate cries and passionate tears. There's no safer place than with God. You can be open with him. You can let go. You don't have to hide anything or be guarded. The third ingredient, and could I ask the worship team to come up? The third one is persistence, determination, endurance, diligence, commitment, stamina. That's praying where you don't quit, praying where you don't stop no matter what, having persistent prayers, determined. Man, I am determined to pray until God answers. I'm going to pray with stamina. I'm not going to get too tired. I'm not going to quit. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, we read the amazing verse that says, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Man, that is someone who never gives up. You may have experienced some bad things in your life, but no one in here has been swallowed up by a great fish. Unless I'm wrong, talk to me afterwards if you have. Jonah was there. I mean, I can't imagine where's the worst place in his life. There he was in the fish, and even there, he was persistent. He cried out to God. He prayed to God. Right in the center of your problem, when it feels like the world is swallowing, right there, be persistent. Don't stop. Right there in that moment, cry out to God. God, you know where I am. You know I'm right here. Man, it reminds me of Pastor Carrie's grandmother. A huge tornado and storm that came through our city. I think it was back 96, something like that. And there she was at home alone. I don't know how old she was. Late, maybe 70s. She's in her house alone, power out. She goes down into the basement in this room under the steps. Just an unfinished room. No concrete floor, just dirt. It was just like a storage place. She's in there, and the storm and the tornado, she could hear it. She said it sounded like a train going over the house. The rains, I mean, Bonjour was coming up. Even in that little room where she was, she said she could feel the water rising up. And her prayer was just simple, Lord, you know where I am. Man, that had to be Jonah. God, you know where I am. I'm right here in the center of this problem. It feels like everything's swallowing me up. Lord, you know where I am. Man, persistence. The fourth one is partnership. If it's important for you to pray for, it's important to have someone else praying with you. I've been praying for the new location of this church. Tuesday night, that was one of the things on my list. We need some space. I mean, there's no service like 10:30 to know that. Look around. You know right now, I need some room. You know, the church is growing. There's almost 700 people here every single week. We're having to have five services just so we can get everyone in. We need space. Tuesday night, I was praying for that. Wednesday morning, negotiations started to move. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is effective. I had asked other people. I wasn't just praying alone. I had asked some other people, hey, tonight I'm going to be praying for the new location. Tonight I'm going to be praying for this. Will you pray with me? Will you join me in this prayer? I knew several other people were praying. Partnership, praying together with focus, the same goal. and God moved. The last one is this. Pray in the name of Jesus. John chapter 14, verses 13 through 14 says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Pray everything in the name of Jesus. There is no other name we can pray in. There is no other God. There is no other prophet. There is no other saint that we can pray in the name of. The Bible tells us, pray in the name of Jesus, and he will answer. Will you stand with me, please? Father, we just praise you today for your words. Lord, we praise you for this opportunity to just talk about and learn about prayer. Lord, our request is just like that of the disciples. Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. There's so many other amazing things and signs and wonders and gifts and prophecies, Lord. But for the disciples, all of those other things are amazing and great. But if we could narrow it down to one thing, Lord, teach us how to pray. Powerful, effective prayers. If you're here today and you need chains to fall off in your life, pray. If you need doors to open, maybe in your marriage, maybe in your family, maybe in your business, God, you've been praying, God, will you let this door open? I need this to happen. Just pray. Take your hands off the door and pray. Pray. Do you need to be rescued? Are you in the center of some problem and all you've known how to pray is, Lord, you know where I am. Just pray. Maybe you have family or friends that need to be rescued. You're following Jesus. Even though you have problems, it's not that big of a deal. You know that God's building you and growing you. You would say, I don't even need prayer for myself. I want my family to know Jesus. I want my family. You know that one person where you keep praying, Lord, please reach them. If you want them to be rescued, learn how to pray. Learn how to pray. Father, bless your people today. Let us be people of prayer, people that cause chaos to the enemy, people that bring confusion. I want to be people that, we want to be a church that disturbs the enemy, that makes change, Lord God. Lord, we want to make a difference in our communities, in our families. So, Lord, we ask that you would change us, that you would teach us how to pray so that we can pray these prayers that will change the world. Lord, that we can be a church that prays. Lord, there's no more powerful thing. Lord, I pray that you would bless your people. And this week, as we continue this 21 days of prayer and fasting, I pray that they would see their prayers answered. In the name of Jesus. Amen.